Hi, everyone. This is your host, Laura, with hashtag SpedFacts. Welcome to our podcast. Today, I want to bring up, again, the mission of hashtag SpedFacts is informing parents and teachers on the law, the process, the procedures, everything about special education, evaluation, referrals, programming, disability conditions, the ARD process, the IEP, related services. I want to do all of those things to help you because I know from experience how a lot of times we gloss over these important procedure steps, processes, and explanations to you parents, and sometimes you too as teachers. And I want this to be a resource for you to come to for clarification and help and assistance. I also want you to be able to listen and maybe understand a little better to work more effectively with your child's school, with the evaluation team, with their teachers. So I'm saying all this because last week I had a meeting with some evaluators, a room full of mostly diagnosticians and speech therapists. Diagnosticians are usually the people who are in charge of the special education department or do a lot of things on the campus. They also do run the meetings for your child's program, IEP meetings or ARD meetings here in Texas. They also do the cognitive and achievement testing for your students. And they work and collaborate with a lot of different evaluation staff members. So they're kind of your first person to go to. Speech people do all those things as well, but for the speech and language referrals, and take care of students who are just speech impaired only. So I was in a room with these ladies. They were all ladies. And we had a conversation that got interesting because some toes were stepped on when I told them I expected informed consent to happen and not send the consent form for evaluation home with the student or give it to a parent in a car pickup line after school. So the faces and expressions told me that this is a common practice where I was at. And it just really got to me. I tried not to let it show, and we had a good conversation. I didn't make a lot of friends on that particular day because I was adamant about what I have informed you is informed consent, which is reviewing the procedure safeguards and the guidebook to the ARD process or the IEP process, explaining everything to you on the forefront before you even sign your name on the consent form. I've also reviewed with you what the consent form's about, what the notice of evaluation is about, and how after the evaluation is completed, there will be a meeting. So all of those things in our previous episodes are what I was asking this room full of people to do. And my professional assumption would be, as another professional, I could trust that they were doing this correctly. And for several of them, I don't think this is the case. I also, the same night, came across an article from an online newsletter called Chalkbeat by Brianna Aversano from August 19th of this year called Complicated Language Excludes Parents from the IEP Process. It does not have to be this way. And I read that as another moment of kind of frustration. And I read it and I totally agree with this lady. And what she's saying, she tells about her experience as a teacher in different states. And no matter where she goes, parents ask her questions about special education, the laws. Can teachers move my kid to another classroom without telling me? My kid got suspended for being physical and they have a disability. Can they do that? So these questions really make her frustrated, not with the families, but her frustration really comes from the procedural safeguards itself. And I would tack on my frustration also with assessment staff, special education staff, who have not reviewed those things properly, as I have attempted to do here on the podcast. She really looked into the readability of the procedural safeguards that parents are supposed to receive and found studies that said only 13% of American adults have a high reading level that is needed to even read and understand these documents. And I would agree that they are not the simplest of reading that you can find and do require explanation and discussion. She also states in her article, interestingly, that when you as a parent signs the receipt or the acknowledgement that you have been given the notice of evaluation and you have signed the receipt stating that you have received the procedure safeguards and the guide to the ARD process and we have reviewed those with you, that it is implied you understand it. And she asserts that this is a false assumption. And I completely agree with her. I cannot and should not assume a parent understands the process and the procedure safeguards, how it describes this process, unless I have a sit down face to face with you and review it and review those questions you might have, which is my frustration then at the room full of women who all of them apparently are not taking the time to do that. She has a lot of examples in her article about instances where it's very confusing, such as situations involving discipline, which that's a hard situation. Oftentimes, we as parents do not like it when our kiddos have to have severe discipline and suffer some consequences for behavior that may or may not be related to their disability and their days of removal, either in ISS or suspension or sitting in the office for half a day waiting on the principal to deal with them, results in a change of placement. Parents really have a hard time understanding those roles. Not just parents, but school staff have a hard time understanding those roles. So her example is really a good one, talking about discipline situations. She also says that parents should be equal members of the ARD committee, of the IEP team. And if you as a parent do not have the knowledge and understanding of the law and the special ed process and procedures and the terms we're using, how can you be an equal member, an equal participant? So I totally agree with her statement there that it should be that you could get these documents, these booklets, and be able to read and understand it without anyone's assistance. It should be in such a format that its readability is fairly guaranteed. There's always going to be some people who may not know how to read, etc., or they may have disabilities of their own that inhibit their ability to read and comprehend, and they're going to need some assistance. I'm not talking about those situations. I'm talking about just our random parent that we come across that don't have those situations. You should be able to pick that up and read that and understand it and apply it to your child's situation. So her argument is that the documents themselves need to be changed and written in that manner, that it would be more reader-friendly, user-friendly. And that way, you as a parent would be a true equal contributor partner in the team that makes your child's education plan. Her article states that if I, as an evaluator, have to explain this to you and you're depending on me, that then puts you sort of in a backseat position to me, and like I have more expertise or I have more knowledge than you, so you're going to depend on my judgment or you're going to depend on what I say. So her article is a good one, and it really brings up a whole new point for us to consider as we process on through the remainder of these procedural safeguards and the guide to the ARD process. Is not only do I want you to be informed and I want to help you be informed of all of these things, but I want you also to be able to read and understand these things after you listen to the podcast, perhaps. So it really just confirmed for me the mission of #SpedFacts and really encouraged me, I guess, in this mission, in this purpose. And I hope that somewhere out there, these podcasts are doing just that. These podcasts are meeting you where you are and helping you to understand. And my mission now is really going to be to do a better job having our podcast posted and published more frequently. I appreciate those listeners who are returning after a bit of an absence over the summertime and some just life things happening that kind of kept me away from podcasting for a bit. And I'll tell you, once you stop doing something, sometimes it is kind of hard to get back in the groove of doing it. So I appreciate all the listeners who have said, oh, she's back on. Yay. I hope you say yay anyway. So be encouraged, parents, and go back and listen to our previous episodes. Encourage others, share with others, find us on Facebook, and please listen again as we continue through the ARD process. We're going to talk about eligibility next time, I promise. I just really had to get this off my chest about the informed consent and the need for parents to understand their rights and responsibilities. So tune in next time. We're going to explore some new things with #SpedFacts. I'm your host, Laura. Have a great one.